Well, turning your Bibles to John 14, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And it's a great book. It's a powerful gospel. It presents Jesus, of course, as the Son of God, as the Messiah and the Savior. At the very end, John writes, and he says, there are many of the signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you might have eternal life. So all who believe in him have life forever. We are seeing this last night of Christ's ministry before he goes to the cross, before he dies for our sins. In fact, in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, this section is often called the Upper Room Discourse. It's Passover. Jesus with his men, his disciples in Jerusalem. Let me break it down this way for you. If you look at it, chapters 1 through 12 is Jesus' public ministry. That's where he was out. He did all the signs. He did the seven signs that are found in the book. And so that's his public ministry. Now, in 13 through 17, it's his private ministry. It's where he's teaching. He emphasizes on his discipleship. He's with his men. And he's talking to them about living out who they are after he's gone. As we continue this morning, we're looking at John 14, and we're going to start at verse 6 and go through verse 12. We're going to see several things. Let me put it this way. We're going to see, first of all, that Jesus says that he's the only way to God. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 14, 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So we'll talk about that. Then the second thing we'll see is that Jesus makes it clear that he and the Father are one. He's going to talk about the idea that he's in the Father, the Father's in him. He's talking about that union. And he's basically saying that when you see the Father, you see him. We'll see how that ties together. And then the third thing we'll see is that Jesus points out his works. And then he talks about our works. And the last verse, verse 12, deals with us. And we'll see how that fits together. There's so much there. It's a powerful passage that we need to understand as we seek to live for Christ. So we'll look at it as we go through this morning. We begin with a question that we ask a lot of times, and that is, who is Jesus Christ? And of course, when you're thinking about Christ, who is he? A lot of people say, well, we know who Jesus is. And people say things like this. They say, well, he was a great teacher. There's no doubt about that. He showed us things, taught us things we need to know. Some people say, well, he's a great example. Hey, he showed us how to live, how to be good, how to do those things. Some say he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He got a message from God. Others say, well, he's a founder of a religion like Buddha and Muhammad. Well, Jesus is the founder of Christianity. But who is Jesus Christ? What did he say? This morning, as we look at John 14, 6 through 12, we actually see he says this. He says that he's the only way to God. He says that he is God. And if you see him, you see the Father. And he says that he's in union with the Father. We're going to see a lot of that. Jesus Christ declares that he is God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, it's a powerful passage. This morning, as we continue, we're seeing his final teaching right before he goes to the cross. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried. He's going to be crucified. So it's a powerful, powerful passage. Let me remind you where we are. It's Passover, which means Jewish calendar-wise, it's 14th day of the first month. It corresponds to our March and April. This was the time that they remembered how God had delivered the nation from the bondage of Egypt. And so it was a big deal. They did it every year. You remember Jesus has come with his men to an upper room. There's a little table in the middle of the room with food on it. They're in a circle reclining around that table. As you remember what's happened, he had told them that he started the meal. He got up and he washed their feet. He got back down. He told them one of them was going to betray him. Peter notioned over to John to lean back and find out who it was. And John said, who is it? And he said, whoever I dip this morsel. And he reached down and dipped it. And he gave it to Judas. And he said, whatever you do, do it quickly. And Judas left. They didn't even get it. They didn't understand it. They missed it. They thought Judas was going out to either buy more food or to give money to the poor or something. And after he went away, then Jesus told them that he was going to leave. And that where he was going, they couldn't come. And Peter said, wait a minute. What do you mean I can't come? I'd like to come. He said, well, you can't come. You'll come later. You won't come now. Peter said, why can't I come now? I'd die for you even right now. And Jesus said, you would die for me now? Before the night is over, you'll deny me three times. And it doesn't show it in the Gospel of John, but Peter said, no, I will not. And all the rest of the guys said, no, we will not either. And in one of the other Gospels, Jesus says, they're going to strike me. They're going to hit me, and you're all going to run off. So it's a sad time because one will betray, one will deny, all will be scattered, and he said he's going away. And as we start chapter 14, he's trying to encourage his men and comfort his men because he's going to leave. And that's why he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I get it prepared, I'll come back and get you. And where I am, there you will be with me always. That's what he told them. It was to encourage them. And we're going to see that Thomas raises a question, and he goes, so you're going away? And Jesus said, yes, you know the way I'm going. Thomas says, I don't know the way you're going. We don't know the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Well, let me break down the passage for you. We're going to see that Jesus is the way to God. That's John 14, 6. And then we see that he is God, that you see him, you see the Father. That's verses 7, 8, and 9. Then in verses 10 and 11, he talks about that he and the Father are in union. And he talks about his words and his works. And let me just tell you, some of these verses are a little bit hard. We'll slow down just so you can see how they fit. And then in verse 14, we see the works of the believer. It's actually for us. Jesus actually says, this is what I say to you who believe in me. That's what he says. So we believe in Jesus Christ. What does he say for us? Well, let's begin, because the first statement is amazing, because Thomas, Jesus said, and you know where I'm going. You know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, well, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? That's verse 5. And so Thomas raises the question. Look what Jesus says. Verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We notice that in this is the sixth of the seven I am statements that you find in the Gospel of John. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. If you remember when we started our study, it's been a long time ago, we had the handout for you on one hand. On one side is the outline, on the other side is a little information, but it shows you the seven signs. Those were in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. And then there are the seven I am statements, and they're scattered throughout the book. And this is the sixth of the seventh one where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a very powerful statement. And Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. And let me just remind you something. He doesn't say, I am a way. He says, I'm the way, not a way. He says he's the truth, not just telling the truth, but he's the truth. He doesn't say, I'm just alive. He says, I am the life giver, the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to think about that, because Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Think about the way. First of all, Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except Jesus Christ. You understand that he is the only way to God. He is the Savior. He didn't say, I'll show you a way. He didn't say, I'll teach you a way. He said, I am the way. There's no way to go to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. Now, in our culture today, there's a lot of people who say things like, well, Jesus is good, but there's all kind of other ways. I've even had people who say, well, I believe that Jesus is the way of salvation or my way of salvation, but there are probably other ways. You don't understand Jesus then. Jesus didn't say, I'm a way and there's a lot of other ways. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no one going to the Father except through me. There's only one way of salvation, that is through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Salvation is in the person of Christ. He is the one that you believe in for eternal life. Now, the second thing, not only says he's the way, but he's also the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Whatever Jesus Christ said was exactly right in truth. Jesus is the truth. And that's why when you think about it, you have the written word of God, but Jesus is the living word of God. And whatever he said was true. So he's the way, the truth, and last but not least, he's the life. In John 11:25, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. In him is life. He is the only way that a person can have life. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We now have life. He is the only way, the absolute truth, and the hope of eternal life. You realize that. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. There's no religion, there's no works, there's no feelings, there's no plan. Jesus is the only way. In fact, think about this. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And if you want to have a relationship with God, the only way you can have it is through Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, that's pretty narrow. Yes, it is. It's pretty narrow. The reason it's narrow is because Jesus said it was. If Jesus said something else, we'd be saying something else. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the Father. It's simply by faith alone and Christ alone plus nothing. Jesus is the Savior. And so we believe that he is the way and the truth and the life. Salvation is in the person of Christ. And I brought this up a while ago, but just think about this. Salvation is in a person. It's not in our actions. It's not in our church. It's not in our religion. It's not in our rituals. It's not in what we do. It is in the person of Jesus Christ, and we trust in him and him alone for eternal life. It is that simple. That's what salvation is all about. From this, now he tells Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. From this, he's going to make a point. Since he's the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to God is through him, he wants them to know that he and the Father are the same. And I want you to have to understand that. He actually says that he and the Father are the same. And when he says that, he doesn't mean that he and the Father are the exact same thing. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about, for just a second, the idea of the Trinity. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but when you search through the Scripture, you find that there is one God who exists in three persons. Now, we can't comprehend this. You can believe it to be true, but you can't comprehend it. This is an infinite God. We're finite people. One God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are not the same. And yet, they're all one because one God. The Son is God, the Father is God, Holy Spirit is God, but the Father and Son are not the same. Now, when he says, I and the Father are one, or when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he was saying we're both God. So in the Scripture, there's this teaching that there is one God in three persons. Let me remind you something. If you go back to Deuteronomy 6:4, don't turn there, but it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. The Hebrew word for one there is Yahweh, which means a cluster. There was a veiled idea of saying Israel has one God, but not just one God, but a cluster in a sense, one in three. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us there? It's not angels. Angels aren't creators. The us is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you get to John 10:27, and he talks about my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. He says at the end, I and the Father are one. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, you remember that Jesus is in the water. There he is, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. So you've got the Son and the Spirit, and then you hear a voice from heaven, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all at the same time. One God in three persons. Now, the truth is this, I cannot understand that. I cannot comprehend. How can God be one God in three persons? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it, but I believe it because the Scripture shows that. Now, what he says is this. He wants them to understand that he is revealing the Father, and that if you see Jesus, you're actually seeing what the Father is like. Notice what he says in verse 7. And I have to read it slow because you have to look at the verbs the way they fit. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, he says this, if you had known me, and by the way, in the Greek, it's, yes, you have known me. If you know me, you have known the Father. The idea is, as you know the Son, you are knowing the Father. As you are knowing the Son, you are coming to know the Father. Look at this. This is how it looks. If and it's true, you have known me, and you have. He says, you have known me. You will know the Father. You are coming to know the Father. Jesus is saying, as you're knowing me, you're coming to know what God the Father is like. It's a powerful statement. Now, let me tell you, for a Jewish person, for him saying that to a Jewish person, see, their key word was YHWH. We sometimes say Yahweh, but YHWH was the personal name of God. They wouldn't even say it. Jesus is actually saying, when you see me, you're seeing the personal God. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you had known me, you are coming to know the Father. It is a powerful statement. You can just see those guys looking like this because they understood that Jesus Christ was God. They just didn't put it together because a Jewish person, if you said, you want to see the Father, they'd go, well, I'd like to see the Father, but I don't know if you can really see the Father. So think about it. He said, if you had known me, and you have, you would have known my Father. And it's the idea you will come to know my Father. And he says, from now on, you know him and you have seen him. You know the Father and you have seen him. I want you to look at this. You have known the Father, you've now seen him. When in the world did they see the Father? John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has revealed him. Jesus is saying, when you see me, you see the Father. And let me explain something to you. When you think about God the Father, he is a spirit being. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He's a spirit being. The Holy Spirit, guess what, is a spirit being, right? And so the Father and the Spirit are spirit beings. At a point in time in history, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a human being. He's the God-man. Jesus Christ is the member of the deity, the Godhead, that we can see. The Father, the Spirit, the Son. Jesus says, when you're seeing me, you're seeing the Father. You're seeing what God the Father is like when you see me. Notice again, if you had known me, and you have, you will have known or you will know my Father. From now on, you know him because you know what he's like because you have seen him. When did they see the Father? When they saw Jesus. That is a powerful, powerful statement. Now, if for us, we read this and we go, well, okay. For them, they went, you're telling us that when we see you, we're seeing God the Father. And he said, that's right. I am a representative of God the Father. I am God. He is God. He's the Father. I'm the Son. When you see me, you see him. Watch what Philip, he didn't get it. And we look at them and go, you didn't get it. We don't get it, right? We're saying, what is he talking about? Look, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. He says, you're talking about the Father? Well, we'd all like to see the Father. Why don't you just show us the Father? And that would be enough. And look what Jesus says. He says, just show us the Father. Philip makes this request, show us the Father. What does Jesus say? Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Now, Philip has missed it. Now, I want to show you something. Just look at the Bible with me. When it said, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? That you is plural in the Greek. He's not just talking to Philip. Philip is the one that asked the question, but he's talking to the men. We could say it, have I been with you all so long, Philip, and you still haven't got who I am? So he's talking to all the guys, and he says to them, have I been with you all this long, and you don't know who I am, Philip? Do you not get it? And then he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So if you've seen me, you've also seen the Father. And I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ reveals what God the Father is like. Hebrews chapter 1 actually says that Jesus is the exact representation of the living God, of the Father. So when Jesus is there, he's saying, you see me, you see the Father. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is saying, I'm the same as the Father. We're both God. When he said that he was the Son of God, he's saying he's God. These guys are realizing this and they're putting it together. They haven't grasped it, they're putting it together. They saw the Father as they saw the Son. Both God, Jesus Christ, makes it known. He says, have I been with you all this time and you don't get it? You understand that I am? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father when you're really looking at me? Now, from that point, he gets really a little bit hard now, because what he's going to say is this, that I and the Father are connected. We're in union with each other. And here's what he's going to say. He's going to say that he and the Father are one. They're in union. And here's how you see it. He says, go to the next slide. There's a twofold aspects of seeing the Father. By Jesus' words, they're actually the Father's words. And by Jesus' works, they're actually the Father's works. And so since Jesus and the Father are one and they're connected, whenever Jesus says something, it's the Father speaking. And when Jesus does something, it's the Father doing it. Watch what he says in verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? That's union. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. Why? Because they're the Father's words. And then look what he says about the works. But the Father's abiding in me does his works. He says, the words are not my own. They're the Father's. The works are not my own. It's the Father's abiding in me. When he speaks the Father's word. When he acts, he does the Father's works. You remember what Jesus said? He didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Father. God the Father is working through the Son. And that's what he's saying. Listen to this. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. What is Jesus saying? The words that I say, the Father says them in Christ. The works that I do is the Father does in Christ. He's saying them that when I do things, it's the Father doing them. When I say things, it's the Father saying them. Now for these guys, this is powerful. Well, it's powerful for us. And we're not there at this moment. We're not in a room with Jesus saying, whatever I do, God the Father does. Whatever I say, God the Father says it, because he and I are in union together. We're the same. I and the Father are one. You see me, you see the Father. He's letting them know that he's God. And he's making sure they understand it. He gives them a challenge, and he says, I want you to believe this. You either believe that we're in union by my words, or you believe this by my works. Look at the next verse. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. That's by what he says. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. He says you need to believe that I and the Father are one. And it's based on what I say. When I say it, the Father says it. When I do it, the Father does it. His works. Do you remember when Nicodemus came to see Jesus? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and this is all the way back to John chapter 3, and this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus was doing all kind of works and miracles, and Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night, and he said these words, "We know you must be from God, because no one can continually do the works that you do unless the Father is with him." That's what Jesus is saying here. Listen, when I do it, it's God doing it through me. When I say it, it's God saying it through me. He's talking about the Father. We have a Father, a Son, and a Spirit. One God, three persons. It's powerful. Look, whatever he says, from the Father. Whatever he does, it's from the Father. It's a powerful statement. It's hard. And a lot of things in the Bible are hard. A lot of things in the Gospel of John are hard. This happens to be one of them. Now, this last verse is for you. It's for every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Look what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now, I want you to understand that he basically says to those of us who believe in him, we will do greater things than he did. We go, I don't think I'm going to get that one because I'm not walking on the water and I'm not doing this. And he did all of those great things. Watch how he starts the verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. It's always faith. It's always faith in Christ. It is always faith in the person of Christ. Salvation is in the person of Christ. Now, you have believed in Christ, right? Every one of you in this room, I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, if somebody said to you, do you have eternal life? You'd say yes. Why? Because you have put your faith in Christ. So this is talking to you and to me. Truly, truly, I say to you, that's us. He who believes in me, that's us. The works that I do, Jesus says, the works that I do, he will do also. You will do the works that Jesus did. And we go, wait a minute, I'm not sure I grasp that one. I'm not sure I grasp that. Then he goes on to say, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. He's saying, you're going to do works like me. As the Father sent the Son descending us. Now, let's talk about two questions, okay? What are the greater works that he talks about that we're going to do, and why by going to the Father? Well, let's answer the second question first. By going to the Father? Going to the Father, he is going to send the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what he told him? You're going to see it in chapters 15, 16, and 17. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. After I leave, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter will come. He will empower you. He will teach you. He will help you understand. He will use you for the glory of God. And so he says, when I leave and I go to the Father, you'll get the power. So we're going to be able to do the works because he's given us the power. Now, here's the second question, which is actually the first one, which, what does he mean, the greater works? What are the greater works? What does he mean? As representatives of Jesus Christ, we will do the greater works. Well, let me show you something. You understand that Jesus walking on the water was not a greater work. When he turned the water to wine was not a greater work. When he took a man who'd never seen and fixed it where he could see was not a greater work. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was not the greater work. What was the greater work? When he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When he said, God the Father has so loved the world that he gave the Son. That's me. That whoever believes in me will never perish but have eternal life. The greater work is the good news message of Jesus Christ. Because you can change water to wine and walk on the water and calm the sea, but that doesn't give eternal life to anyone who believes. He says that if you believe in me, you will do even greater than I have done. We would say, what do you mean greater? You understand this? That on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to speak, 3,000 people trusted Christ on the day of Pentecost. That's more than trusted Christ in Jesus' 3.5-year ministry. You understand that? Do you know how many disciples followed Christ after he died, rose again, and ascended into heaven? There were 120 people in the upper room. 120. In a 3.5-year ministry, we don't know how many trusted Christ, but on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people trusted Christ. Where did Jesus do his ministry? He was born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt when he was a little boy, came back when he was 4, went to Nazareth, grew up in Nazareth, had his ministry in Capernaum for 3.5 years. He never left. Once he grew up, he never left Israel. He never went to any other places but that one land. The apostles went throughout the whole world. We get to take the message to the whole world. We are doing, as Jesus said, the greater work. More people trusted Christ from the apostles than ever in Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years. Jesus said to us, guess what? Because you believe in me, you're going to do the greater work because I go to be with the Father. I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit to empower you so you can understand the scripture, so you can go in God's power and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. The greater work is evangelism. That's why we have these books. And we say to you, take these living waters. We just got in 10,000 of them. Take them. Take as many as you want. Hand them out to people. Tell somebody, hey, listen, on the back it says, can you know you have eternal life? Well, can you? That person will say, well, I don't know if I can. Well, would you like me to show you how you can know you have eternal life? This is the greatest opportunity you can have. You can give these out to people. You can use these little books to share your faith. And let me just say this. If you were to say, JB, I'm not that confident in sharing my faith, then come see me. I would meet with you one-on-one to help you know exactly how you can share your faith. But here's another thing. We have a course called the 412 Foundations. In there it talks about what's the gospel, how to present the gospel, how to share your faith, all of those things. We'll get you plugged in so you can take one of those courses so you can feel confident. So when you go out these doors, you get to do the greater work of all, and that is to proclaim Christ to this world. And you do more in your lifetime than Jesus did. That's what he says. His ministry was only 3.5 years. He was only in one little place. And as a whole, they rejected him. Powerful truth. Now, let's talk about works for just a second. I want to make sure you understand something. That we're talking about doing works and serving God. But works, one point you got to understand, works are not for salvation. We do good works not to be saved, not to stay saved, not to prove that we are saved, but because we are saved. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Titus 3:8, he says this is a trustworthy statement that those who have believed in God should be very careful to do good works. We get to do good works because we're saved. We don't do good works to be saved, to stay saved, or even prove we're saved. We do good works because we're saved. What Jesus said, do good works so it can bring glory to my Father in heaven. What have we seen? We've seen Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We've seen that Jesus and the Father are one. They're in union together. And when Jesus speaks, it's the Father speaking. When Jesus does the works, it's the Father doing the works. He says, I'm going to go to the Father, and that you are going to do the greater works, even greater works than me, and that is to give out the salvation message. So let me give you some applications. First is this. Realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way of salvation. There are not a lot of ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. It is not by works or goodness or righteousness. It is by faith alone and Christ alone. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't get it confused. Don't add to it. Just say it clearly and to people that Jesus died and rose again. When you believe in him, you have eternal life. It is that simple. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the way is death. See, to men, people, we think you do good to get to God. Try to live a good life. Do this, do this. That won't get you to God. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus is the only way, by faith in him. Second, realize that Jesus Christ is God. by his works, which were from, by his words, which were from the Father, by his works, which were from the Father, Jesus Christ said, I am the one. And we can think of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son came and died and rose again. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth. And so when we think about Jesus, he is God. The last thing, let's do the greater works. And that is to proclaim the message of salvation. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beg through us. We get to go out these doors and tell people. Now, it's scary, isn't it? Isn't it scary to share your faith? You go out and you don't want to start talking to somebody and you start breathing a little funny and you want to give them that book and you say, I want to give them that book. But, you know, if I give them this book, they may not like me anymore. And I've tried to make a friendship with this person, but if I share my faith, they might not like me. And do you realize why it's scary? You know why it's scary? It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. It has heaven and hell repercussions. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, they go from death to life, from darkness to light, from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. It is a cosmic battle. That's why it's scary. That's why you say, I want to tell this guy about Christ, but I don't know why I start breathing hard when I want to start talking to people about it. That's why you have to be confident and you have to know the message and you have to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you. So be ready. It's that simple. Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these great truths. May we realize that Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father through him. He is God. He is God in the flesh. When we see him, we see the Father. He is the eternal, all-powerful God. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to do the greater works, and that is to proclaim the message of salvation by faith in Christ. Thank you that salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.